Welcome.
It's time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elijah Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website,
Faith Independent Baptist at Hebron.org.
And now, Pastor Dave Jones with the Old Time Country Church Broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Old Time Country Church Broadcast. This is Pastor Dave Jones. Yep, I'm pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church in the community of Hebron, Kentucky. I bet you know where that is. And we have folks come by and visit us all the time that have heard the broadcast. We're so glad to meet you. A lot of folks that you hear us on the air that we'll never meet this side of heaven, but we'll see you one day in glory if you're saved. And so I'll tell you what let's do this morning. Let's pray together before we ever start another thing. Our Father God, we're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can pray any time of the day or night. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our burden is. It doesn't matter what our sin is. It doesn't matter what our questions are. I thank you, God, you said to come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm thankful, Lord, that David said he prayed morning, noon, and night. And Lord, we're glad for old Daniel that prayed the same way. And so, God, we lift up the broadcast today. We don't know where it's going to go. We don't know who's going to listen to it. But Lord, we have great confidence. You use the word of God because you said your word would not return void. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to take a listen now. This is a service we had at church recently. Folks enjoy these services. They say, preacher, I'm shut in. I can't get out to your church, but I enjoy listening to the service themselves. And so I'm going to take you into the service today. I'm going to sing you a special on here, and then I'm going to preach on the subject, If God Be For You, Who Can Be Against You?
All right, let me sing a song. Somebody asked about this song the other day. I don't know who, and I'm lucky I remembered the song that you asked about. Don't press me too much here. But, you know, storms come. I was listening to the news report about all the hurricanes down south and Puerto Rico and the ones that hit Florida and Texas and all of those. And they had pretty good warning of those storms. They saw it on the radar develop out in the Gulf Coast of Africa and tracked it every step of the way. And that's a good warning system. But you know, for you and I, storms sometimes show up when the weather's fair, and all of a sudden, a storm will come in our life. Everybody else's life may be going on just fine, but in our life, it seems like it's just raining and carrying on and all that kind of stuff. So here's a song for you. Jesus and the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee when a storm arose that threatened their lives. They said, save us or we'll perish, help us or we'll die. Jesus spoke these words and the storm clouds passed by. He said, peace be still, and the lightning stopped flashing. He said, peace be still, and the billows stopped crashing. Lightning flashing, thunder crashing, your whole life out of control. He can say, peace be still, in the storm clouds in your soul. I was on the sea of life going down for the last time when a hand from out of nowhere lit in mine. He righted my boat, kept me afloat, took me on the right course. Now my soul is secure, headed for heaven's shore. He said, and the lightning stopped flashing. He said, peace be still, and the billows stopped crashing. Lightning flashing, thunder crashing, your whole life out of control. He can say, peace be still, hear the storm clouds in your soul. All right, take your Bibles this morning. It's really good to see all of you here in the And I mean that. If nobody came to hear me preach, I wouldn't. I'd preach to the walls, but I'm glad to have an audience, somebody you can be a blessing to. Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. And begin reading in verse 28. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. More, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at Psalms 118. Psalm 118. Get a cross-reference here. Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118 and verse 6. This is good promises right here. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. So the Lord said here in Romans chapter 8, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? David said, the Lord's on my side, and he takes my part. I want to ask this question this morning and answer it from the scriptures. We often quote Romans 8 and verse 31, where the Lord said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We quote, that's a good verse, and good thing for us to know where it is. But here's my question. What does that mean? That the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? What does that mean? And I want to look from the scriptures that are here and other places about what it means for God to be for us. Words mean something. Little three-letter word, for, means something. And I think we'll learn today, and I think you'll be encouraged when you leave here, that God is for us. He's not against us. He is for us. And notice what the writer here said about it. Notice the introduction to the statement. The introduction Paul gives the statement over here in Romans chapter 8. Look down at verse 29 just a minute. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. In eternity past, God foreknew you and I. He chose us. He was predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That was in eternity past. God loved us way back there before we could ever love him. And God said, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What he did in eternity past proves us that God is for us. But look what he did here in the present. Look down at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. When God saved you and I, God called us. We were called by the moving of the Spirit of God. God called us to salvation. God spoke to us and drew us to himself. We were important to him. God calls people through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God brings a conviction on that soul. I'm glad for the day, thank God, that I heard the gospel and got convicted, and God called me to salvation.
Amen.
Amen. In the past, God predestined us and chose us. He foreknew us. He called us presently. But look what he's going to do in the future. Look at verse 30 again. He said, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Paul said that I reckon the sufferings of this present time will not be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be ours one day. God's going to present us to himself, faultless for the presence of his glory. One day, thank God, church, God, people, thank God for the saved people, that one day it's all going to be over and we're going to know some glory, thank God, and be in his presence on the other side. The glory that shall be ours. He glorified them. It's just as well we were there. He said he glorified us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If God chose us and foreknew us and called us and justified us, one day he will glorify us, the Bible says. I like this. I like for folks to ask me. And they ask quite often. Because I talk about it quite often. I preach on it quite often on the radio. People say to my brother Dave, do you really know you're going to heaven? Did you ever ask that? Well, yeah, do you? I said, well, I always say, yes, I do. Do you? Here's why. And I tell them why. It's all about Jesus. It's all about that. And you said, well, you talk about heaven as if you're going there. Yes, I am going there. Hallelujah for the blood and for the grace of God. One day he'll glorify you and I.
Amen.
We'll be presented to him as a chaste virgin bride, and we'll behold his glory, his power, and his majesty, and all he is, thank God. One day we'll see him face to face, thank
Amen.
God. Whew, glory. The instruction, the illustration of this statement. But notice the introduction. Look at the illustration of this statement. Look down here, please, in verse 32. Notice the illustration, how God illustrates what he means by God being for us. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 4 just a minute. Romans chapter 4. Verse 23. Romans chapter 4. And down in verse 23. He delivered him up for us all, the Bible said. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 23. He said this. Now it is not written for his sake, talking about Abraham, not for his sake alone, but that it was imputed unto him. But for us also, that for whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offense and raised for again for our justification. God said he was delivered for our transgressions. The Bible said he was delivered for our sin. He was delivered for us, the Bible said. Look at your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15. He was delivered for our transgression. Thank God for that. Somebody had to pay for our transgression. And we either died and went to hell and suffered forever and paid for it ourselves, or Jesus come and paid for it. I'm glad, thank God, he paid for my sin. Hallelujah. For our transgressions. Look at that, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul describes the gospel. Now watch this very closely. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to Scripture. Christ died for one reason. You'd say, Brother Dave, why did Christ die? For our sins. That's why. He came in the world to be to save sinners. Didn't Paul say that? Are you a sinner this morning? Then you qualify for salvation. God called. God said he came in the world to save sinners. I'm glad he did. Without him, we'd be lost on our way to hell. Amen. He came to save sinners. Oh, Brother Dave, I don't need to be saved. Fine. See how that works out for you in hell one day. And then call me back. You and I need a Savior. He saved me. He died for sinners. Look at 1 John chapter 2. He died for sinners, and he died for the sins of the whole world, for everybody. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verse 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 3, he said, And he is a propitiation for our sins. For our sins. And not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. For the sins of the whole world. If God be for you, he is for you because he chose you. He's for you because he sanctified you. He's for you because he called you. He's for you because he justified you. He's for you because he's going to glorify you. And he's for you, thank God, because he died for sinners. Hallelujah. For sinners. It's amazing the self-righteous crowd we have coming to churches anymore. They come floating in like Bishop Sheen, just on a breeze, you know, like this, so holy. And they're just wicked as the devil like everybody else is. But we've got this self-righteous Pharisee business going on in the world today that I'm not bad as so-and-so. I'm okay, you're okay. Neighbor, let me tell you something. The greatest day in my life is when the Holy Spirit came and showed me that Jesus Christ died for sinners. That mean me? The illustration, he illustrated. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's another way he illustrates what it means to be for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 21. He became our substitute. He took our place on that cross. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And down in verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was sin for us. He suffered in my place. I should have had the cross nailed to me. I should have nailed that cross. You and I should have too as well. I'm telling you, thank God, he took it all on himself. He didn't have to. You say, preacher, why did he do it? He did it for the grace of God. That's why he did it. The grace of God. Thank you, brother. Enough water there to baptize 7 Methodists. The Bible said here that he became a substitute. I want you to think about this just a minute. Look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. You're close by. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look down, please, at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and at verse 24. He said, and when he had given thanks, he break it, talking about the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He became my substitute. Barabbas should have been on that cross, but he got let go and Jesus took his cross. That's exactly what happened to you and I. You and I deserve to be on that cross. We deserve the punishment of hell. We deserve to be in hell forever. There's no argument about that. But he became my substitute. And I'm going to tell you something. Because Jesus Christ hung on that cross at Calvary, and when I receive him as my Savior, I can go free, thank God. Free of sin. Free of punishment. There's no hell in my future. And your future is. Hey, thank God for the cross of Calvary. Amen. I'll tell you something, buddy. A lot of folks out here depend on water to go to heaven. Good luck with that, buddy. Good luck with that. It took the blood, took the cross. It took the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you right now, that's why the devil wants all the crosses down across the country. You hear me? Take the cross down. I saw it the other day. This is nutty. People, I mentioned this Wednesday night. The atheist group said they're on a vendetta now that they don't want little kids to sing Jesus loved little children, red and yellow, black and white. They said that's a racist song. You have fell out of your crib and you fell on your head and never got over the thing. You're crazy. Not a racist song. It's an inclusive song. Jesus died for everybody. Thank God. He didn't die just for the blacks or the whites. He died for everybody. But that's their mentality. Get rid of it. It's racist. I'm going to tell you something. You know why that is? They don't want to know about the blood. They don't want you to know about the cross. They don't want little kids to understand about forgiveness. Thank God, I'm telling you, hallelujah for the cross. Thank God for the red blood that cleanses dark sin and make it white as snow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like it. Brother Roloff, he said, God thought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Spirit wrought it. And the Bible taught it. Amen. And I got it. Amen. That's what he said. I like it. The illustration of this, of being for us, is that he died for our substitute for our sins. The Bible said down here, he foreknew us. And the Bible said he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. The Bible said that he justified us on the cross of Calvary. He died in my place and declared me just when I trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That blood was payment enough. It was payment enough. Thank God. It was payment enough for my sin. Amen. That I can go free. Thank God. He said, but notice the illustration. He said, I want you to know I died for everybody, for all sinners, as their substitute. But here is the intercession that he gives. He is for us because he intercedes for us. Watch your Bibles. Look back in verse chapter Romans chapter 8 and look down at verse 34. Romans 8 and look at verse 34, please. Watch this right here. Romans 8 chapter and in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is a living advocate. He's a living intercessor. We do not pray to a dead God. We do not pray to some entity out here that whose bones are rotting away in a grave somewhere. We have a living Savior, thank God. And he intercedes on our behalf. You know why he can do that? Because he justified us. That's why.
Amen.
And the Bible said he intercedes for us. When you and I pray, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Whenever we need help from God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He intercedes on our behalf. He comes before him and he said, Lord, these are my children. These are ones I bought with the blood. They're washed in my blood. They're my children. They're your children by virtue of the new birth. And Lord, I want you to do something for them. That's what I'm talking about. He's on your side. He is for you. We live in a world where it looks like the bad guys are winning.
Come on, brother.
Doesn't it? Every day we think the bad guys are winning. We look out and say, oh man, there's more crime, more sin, everything else. What in the world is it out here? What's out there? They're overrunning us. Everything's overrunning us. I saw today that our Secretary of Defense, I think, was in Afghanistan this week, Kabul someplace, and he had no more land, and they shelled the place. The bad guys shelled the place. You think after 16 to 17 years, somehow we'd have a handle on that thing? I don't know. But it looks like every time you squash them out here, they raise up over here. Every time you elect some Christian office, four or five others will show up and cuss God. Maybe I'm going to tell you something. It may look like they're winning, but we're on the winning side, you and I. We're on the winning side. Notice what he said. He said down in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm so glad I don't have to pray to some idol. Are you listening this morning? I'm glad I don't have to pray to some priest who's as wicked as I am. Come on. I saw this week. And the Baptist church, I'm trying not to spill this, Brother Jason. Thank you so much. I saw this week where now they're investigating the Pope. What took them so long? I mean, before God, really. And they figured out he's had a lot of shady dealings going on with money and all that kind of stuff. And that's been going on for 1,000 years. That thing's been, and you get the interdenominational have that to some degree because their wicked people gets in there. But I'm glad, thank God, that as a child of God, a blood-washed child of God, if I need to talk to God, I can go. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't need Mary. I got Jesus, thank God. The Bible said here, he's living sacrifice, a living God, a living intercessor. Look at verse 33 while you're there in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. How is it that Jesus can intercede for us? Well, here's the answer, verse 33. Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. We are declared just based on what Jesus did. That's why he can intervene for us. That's why he can come before the throne of grace and intervene on our behalf. Take your Bible, look down here, please, in verse Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26 just a minute. Romans 8, verse 26. Watch this. Romans 8, verse 26. The Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Hang on right there. Hang on just a minute. Without a show of hands, only as anybody here got infirmities? We all got them, buddy. We all got infirmities. He said, he helpeth our infirmities. That's more than the doctor does most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was talking to Brother Holbrook Sr. here today, and we're talking about our aches and pains, all our ailments, and all this stuff going on. We've both been to doctors, ain't too sure we're even better than what we was. Then they had the gall to call and say, how you feeling? Why do you think I feel? You just shot me up full of that old junk and, you know, give me about 9 different kinds of pills to take that make you go to the toilet. I'm just saying, you don't want to know how I'm doing. But all that stuff is just to die. I know that we need doctors. Thank God for good doctors and those that love God. I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you something. There is one. Thank God when I have an infirmity, the first place I want to go is Dr. Jesus and get on my knees and say, Lord, help me. And sometimes I don't know what to pray, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for me because he's on my side. He's on my side. I know what the healers say. The faith healers, they say, well, it's God's will that you are well. Really? Wonder how come they get sick. Just saying to you. Just a thoughtful question. How come they get sick? Oh, Roberts had to go to California and get his eyes worked on. I mean, you know, Jack Wood said, y'all just stuck his fingers down and said, hokey pokey, go ahead and get, you know, heal myself. But what's Brother Wood know? You understand? Bible says in Romans chapter 8, watch this right here, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we ought to should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then look down at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts of and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints. If God be for you, who can be against you? He maketh intercession for it. And sometimes we don't even know what to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray. But God make intercession for it. He intercedes for us, thank God. He intercedes on our behalf. I love him for that. Thank God for an intercessor today.
Yeah.
Look at Romans. Look at Psalm chapter 27, please. Psalm 27. Psalm chapter 27. Look at it, please, at the first 3 verses. Psalm 27. Psalm chapter 27. Verse 1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Amen.
Whom shall I fear? Answer that is nobody. The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? Answer that, nobody. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Why? Because he knew if God be for him, who can be against him?
Amen.
I'm telling you something, child of God, I just stopped by today. I just kept just passing through. I just came by to tell you that whenever you wake up some morning and all the your financial house is caved in on you, you need to think, if God be for you, who can be against you? When everybody turns against you, when your father and mother have forsaken you, and when your friends turn their back on you, and those you thought loved you cuss you, if God be for you, who can be against you? When you wake up some morning and the diagnosis of the doctor is not good, and you may be facing death, I want to say, if God be for you, who can be against you? When somebody tells lies about you and tells them about your children, if God be for you, who can be against you today?
Amen.
He's for you. He's for you. He's on your side. You're his child. He loves you. He wants to see you succeed. Don't buy into this stuff that I'm whipped and I'm beat and I'm over with. You're not over with.
Amen.
You're alive this morning, aren't you? Got a pulse? I'm going to check some of y'all. I'm not real sure this morning. Looking at you, I'm just not real sure. I will check your pulse at the door. I'm telling you right now, if God be for you, who can be against you? Let's stand with the heads bowed. Brother Dale, if we get that song together. Our heads bowed just a minute and eyes closed. Find this old song, Sister Helen, play it for him, please, softly. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, the principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things could have come, or life nor death, the end of the creature, height or depth, the end of the creature, to be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wanted the sermon to be a blessing to you this morning. I wanted the sermon to be an encouragement to you. I've spent the last 2 or 3 weeks talking to many of you. You've called me or you've came to my office and we've talked. And things that are weighing on you and things that go up in your life, most of them are sudden. Or things you hoped wouldn't come, like Job did. Job said, of that which I greatly feared has come upon me. But here they are. You're under attack. Those that are supposed to love you are cussing you. Children gone wayward. Finances not there. Your health, bad news. And the tendency is to say, you know what, I'm finished. I am done. I'm just going to give up. No, 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 no. That's what the devil wants you to do. I'm saying, if God be for you, who can be against you? He's for you because he died for you on the cross of Calvary. He's for you because he intercedes on your behalf. He's for you because he keeps you through eternity. He's for you because that he loved you so much in eternity, knew who you were way back there. He loved you so much that Jesus took your place on the cross of Calvary. If God be for you, ain't nobody going to be against you. Maybe today you just need to come and unload your burden at the cross and on the altar this morning. I've done that many. I did it yesterday. I was burdened down yesterday, here yesterday. And I just had to come and just kneel and say, God, I can't take this load. These things I worry about, I can't do anything about. I can't fix them. I can't help them. Lord, here you are. I've done the best I can do. You believe what you want to, that load just seemed to lift. Say what you want to. If God be for you, who can be against you? If you're lost without Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. God's still for you. He wants you to get saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you're not saved, you're not for sure how to get saved. Would you come forward this morning? Let's take a scripture. We'll kneel here, take the Bible, and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and forgiven today. Father, as we sing this old hymn, if we never meet again, this side of heaven, we look forward to being with you one day. Lord, we have sweet fellowship here in this church, but Lord, I know the devil attacks every family in this place. There's no doubt, Lord, their family's out today because the devil has attacked them over the weekend, brought them down. I pray, Lord, now that many would come and just drop to their knees this altar and say, Lord, I can't carry this burden any longer. I put it in your hands because I know you're for me. And I want to be for you. I want to stand up for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the time's gone today, and I hope that this was a message, was a blessing. I pray that the special was a blessing. I pray that something was said to be encouragement to you and point you toward Jesus. Until the next time, may God bless you, neighbor.
Been listening to the Old Time Country Church broadcast with Brother and Pastor Dave Jones from Faith Independent Baptist Church, 1532 Elijah Creek Road in Hebron, Kentucky. Check out the website,
Faith Independent Baptist at Hebron.org.
Write to Faith Independent Baptist Church today, Post Office Box 502, Hebron, Kentucky 41048. Faith Independent Baptist Church in Hebron, with Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning preaching at 11 a.m., Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening prayer service at 6:30 p.m. Tune in again next week at this time for the Old Time Country Church Broadcast with Pastor Dave Jones. Thanks for listening.